This is KCLA FM, Los Angeles. Now broadcasting from coast to coast and around the world on web radio at KCLAFM.com. Stay tuned for more.
You ready?
WebRadio.com, your internet radio destination for the new millennium. Live anytime.
On any day.
From anywhere. It's WebRadio.com. Nothing can compare to what's happening across the network. So come listen to this station live at WebRadio.com with music,
news,
sports,
whatever your taste.
It's there. Web Radio also has some cool giveaways all the time. Be sure to check it out. WebRadio.com.
To the Dating Advice Girl Radio Show on 99.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles.
Dating Advice Girl here on 99.3 KCLA FM in sunny Los Angeles, California. How are we doing? How are you doing? How are we doing? How are we doing? I hope you're doing well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for podcasting. Listening to the podcast, that is. So this is going to be an informative episode. Hopefully this will help some of you who are navigating through the waters of safety and consent with a new partner. You know, I had a few interesting conversations recently with some colleagues, with some single people, some colleagues, just a lot of interesting conversations with people in terms of what is consent in the like sexual realm, in relation to intimacy and that kind of a thing, or even just in terms of, you know, hugging, you know, that kind of thing. Not everyone's a hugger. Some people are very protective of their personal space, which is, you know, to each his own, and everyone's got different boundaries and such. So, you know, these discussions have come up, and it's kind of been a conversation about how do you know when, you know, what someone's boundaries are? What are some safe assumptions you could make in terms of someone's boundaries? You really shouldn't make any assumptions. But again, I think a lot of us do make assumptions that someone, you know, when you meet someone for the first time, even if it's, you know, a platonic thing, or your friends meeting somebody's friends meeting your friends, or you meeting somebody's friends, that you want to hug somebody. You know, some people aren't huggers, all that kind of stuff. So this episode is designed to help you more in the realm of intimacy with someone new. Because when you're, and specifically when we're talking about dating, it can be hard to know, you know, when to have that first kiss, or when to know that you want to sleep over at, you know, your love interest's place for the first time, you know? And really, all of that stuff should happen when you feel safe, when you feel some level of safety with that person. Now, again, we're talking generally, even in relationships or lifestyles that are more about, you know, for example, again, this is not my specialty, but in the BDSM world, there are some couples and partners who will navigate oh gosh, it gets complicated, but sometimes there's an agreement that's made, there's a conversation, an agreement that's made that, hey, I want you to push my boundaries a little bit. We're, for the sake of this show, we're talking about more traditional type relationships, one partner to another perhaps, or just when there's a new partner entering the equation and you're trying to figure out how comfortable you personally feel getting frisky with this person, okay? So let's just jump right in. This is actually based on an article that I wrote for online dating website in the UK, theswexperts.com, formerly known as singleswarehouse.co.uk. So this article is actually on my website right now, thedatingadvicegirl.com. Feel free to check it out. Just click on, when you go to the website, thedatingadvicegirl.com, click on dating tips. It's the first article that's posted there. Or if you're listening to this later, check it out. I think it's article, I don't know, number 80, 6, 70. I'm in the 70, 80 realm, I believe. But yeah, or it's on my homepage at the moment. Right now. So here we go. Let's jump in. So this is entitled Comfort, Safety, and Consent, 15 Questions. So basically, I'm going to go through 15 questions that should hopefully help you navigate the sometimes tricky waters of consent and when it comes to intimacy. So these are 15 questions you can ask yourself. So here we go. In the dating game, feeling comfortable, safe, and respected by a partner is super important and can ultimately lead you to enthusiastically consenting to a sexual activity with new partners. When getting to know potential new partners, it can be really, really stressful to initiate conversations about sex and intimacy. I mean, I think we've all been there. You know, some partners it might be easier to talk about than with others. You know, you just might be super nervous about, oh my God, we have to talk about sex and protection and, you know, test results and all that kind of stuff. It can be a little nerve-wracking. In a perfect world, all singles would have a serious chat about boundaries before engaging in intimate acts. I highly encourage that, in fact. I obviously do. You know, you cover all your bases if you can talk about that kind of stuff before you're actually having sex or actually, you know, making out or what have you. But in reality, those conversations might not happen with every partner at the start of each new dating scenario, especially for the younger folks listening out there. You younger, the millennials listening, the younger people, late teens, early 20s, I know you're still navigating how to work through all that and how to, like, oh my gosh, like all the nervousness that comes along with dating and stuff. But just know that the more conversations you have, the better, even if you can make it a fun conversation, which I'll get into in a little bit. It's really good to ask those questions or ask specific questions beforehand if you can. And I don't mean to single out, by the way, younger single people, because actually I think we all struggle with that. Age is, you know, I guess with age comes more experience with all this stuff, but I've definitely had clients who were well into their 30s and 40s who still struggled with that conversation. So age isn't necessarily an indicator of being comfortable with those conversations or not. So, okay, let's continue. For singles who might be shy about discussing specifics around sex, asking yourself a few questions could help determine if a potential partner is a good fit for you. Here are 15 questions that will help you assess your level of comfort and potential safety with a new partner and with a new partner to determine if you're comfortable moving forward sexually. So again, these are 15 questions that you would ask yourself. Because again, in a perfect world, we would have a conversation with somebody else. So before you even get comfortable with the idea of having that conversation with a potential partner, I've designed 15 questions that you could literally talk to yourself about, ask yourself in terms of, would I even want to have this conversation with someone? Let me ask myself these 15 questions about my potential partner. And then if I have any, like, no, basically if you answer, if your answer to any of the following questions is negative, then you may want to rethink your willingness to engage in sexual activity with him or her. Okay. So again, these are 15 questions for you as a single person that could help you determine how to proceed, how to move forward if, the person you're thinking about getting sexy with is a good choice, or maybe they aren't after these 15 questions. So let's start. Here we go. Number one, do you feel physically safe with your partner? Okay, so that's a huge basic question, you know? Physically safe. Do you feel like when you're out and about, like even on a normal date or in a casual setting, do you feel some level of safety? Do you feel like that person has your back in some way? Do you feel like that person's trying to maybe lead you into like dangerous scenarios, like even platonically, you know, when you're on a date, do you feel like if something went down, that person would be, you know, would try to look out for you? That's an important question, because again, in some of the most intimate acts, you don't want to feel abandoned. You want to feel some level of safety. So do you feel physically safe with your partner, generally speaking? Okay. These are questions you're asking yourself about potential partners. Number two, do you feel emotionally safe with your partner? Now, again, okay, as most of you know who are listening, I specifically help singles in the early dating process. So the first few months, generally, when you're, you know, trying to get to know somebody, you're still, like, asking questions, you know, like tell me, you know, like, you're inquiring about, like, really getting to know who that person is. I'm not talking about established relationships. So do you feel emotionally safe with your partner is an interesting question, because you're still figuring out, you know, how much you connect and how emotionally safe you might feel. I would say, though, that's a pretty good indicator that maybe someone might not be a good choice for you if you don't feel like you could share your feelings and share your emotions and feel like, do you feel like that person has a good read on, like, your moods, or, like, if you're in a happy mood or a sad mood that day, and you're on a date or out or spending time with that person, are they kind of tuned into that? Do they care about your emotional well-being? Even on a small, again, fun level, are they annoyed that you're in a bad mood? Are they supportive if something, you know, bad, if you had a bad week? You know, that kind of stuff. Do you feel emotionally safe with your partner? That's a really good question to ask, again, because you're going to be sharing things in the emotional realm, not just physical, okay? Number three. Does your partner respect your boundaries in normal scenarios, not just intimate scenarios? So, okay, that's pretty straightforward. You know, if you're, I don't know, getting ice cream, you know, and you're waiting in line to get your delicious, fabulous ice cream, and, you know, maybe the person you're seeing wants to, like, make out with you while you're in line, and for you, you're not a PDA person, but that person, you know, your partner insists on, like, you having a makeout session in line in front of, like, kids at this ice cream shop, and that's not your thing, like, that is a blatant disrespect for your boundaries. Things like that. Does your partner respect your boundaries or not? And again, that could be in so many different scenarios. Your boundaries could be, hey, you know, I don't want you to call me super late at night, because I feel like it's disrespectful. Or, you know, I'd rather you not call me sweet cheeks, because I don't like that. Or whatever your boundaries are, does your partner respect your boundaries in normal scenarios? We're not even talking about, like, sex stuff yet. We're talking about, do they respect those boundaries? That is a really good indicator. If they don't respect your boundaries, it's a really good indicator that they might not respect your boundaries when it comes to making out and the like, okay? So just be aware, okay? Here we go. Number four, do you feel comfortable voicing your likes and dislikes to your partner? Okay, this one's huge, okay? Because the thing is, and again, let me just say to you, like, I'm a general dating expert for single people in the early dating process. I am not a sexpert, but again, a lot of these things do go together in a lot of ways. Obviously, with dating, there is intimacy. So I just want to preface this by saying I'm not a sexpert, and I'm not a sexual, like, psychologist or anything like that. These are my personal feelings as a dating expert. Do you feel comfortable voicing your likes and dislikes to your partner? So when we are intimate with each other, there are maybe some things that maybe your partner might want to try that maybe you're not into. Or maybe there's something you really, really like and you want more of that. Okay, then you should hopefully feel some level of comfort with your partner so that you're able to say, hey, yeah, that was really awesome, I'd like to do that again. Or, hey, whoa, that was a little much, or that was a little rough, or those kind of things. It's really important to be able to say those things, because things can get out of hand real quickly if you aren't able to, you know, speak up and tell your partner, hey, that was great or not. Your partner doesn't know if you're not able to say it, okay? So there should be some level of comfort in expressing what you're liking that he or she is doing and what you're not liking that he or she is doing intimately. But again, that all starts before any sex stuff is happening. You should hopefully be comfortable, and I encourage you to get comfortable if you can and test out the waters. Maybe you're still, you know, getting to know your partner, but, you know, test out the waters and tell them, hey, you know, I really do like when you take me to that, come pick me up when we go on a date. I love when you drive to my house and pick me up. Like, being able to be comfortable expressing likes and dislikes, even in just normal scenarios, are really good, and it's gonna enable you to be better at expressing likes and dislikes when it comes to being intimate, okay? So practice that if you're not doing it, but also it's a big red flag for me if I have a client who says that they're not comfortable saying no or saying, hey, I don't like that, to someone they're dating in any realm, okay? So be aware of that. All right, here we go. Let's move on. Number 5. Is your partner open to hearing your likes and dislikes? So the previous one's kind of similar. Do you feel comfortable voicing your likes and dislikes? It's really important that you're able to speak your truth and speak what you're into and not. The next one that, you know, we just covered, number 5, is your partner open to hearing your likes and dislikes? That's huge as well. Because if your partner is not receptive to hearing what you're into and not and ignores what you're into and not, again, huge red flag. Those two kind of go together, but I think it was important to separate the two because they are both very different in terms of, one is your communication skills, you speaking to someone your truth, and the other one is your partner being receptive to hearing it. So just be aware of that, and if your partner is not open to hearing something you're into or not, red flag, definitely. Number 6, does your partner respect you when you say no? I kind of just said a little bit of that. It ties into the other ones. But yeah, I mean, have you said no to a partner before? Have you just gone along with something that he or she wants just because you want to please them, or you just don't want to, like, ruffle feathers or that kind of thing? But, you know, would your partner respect you if you were to say no to something, or if you have said no to something? Does your partner respect your no? That is super important. Again, it's all about boundaries, and it's all about respecting each other's boundaries. And so if you feel like if you were to ask a partner, or if a partner were to, like, say, try an intimate act that you weren't okay with, would you feel comfortable saying no? And would that partner stop immediately doing that intimate act if you said no? If you have any feeling that maybe they wouldn't stop, then that's a red flag. That's a huge red flag, and maybe that person isn't the right person for you to get intimate with. Number 7, does your partner respect your feelings overall? Okay, so maybe, you know, maybe you're maybe this potential love interest, potential sexy partner, you know, respects some parts of you or like some parts of you, but maybe there's some things they don't respect about you. Like, maybe they don't like the fact that you have friends that are into festivals, or doesn't respect the fact that you're maybe there's just some big conflict where your partner thinks that they know better than you in some way, or that, you know, they're trying to teach you, well, no, that's not the way to do it, this is the way, and you're saying, no, but this way feels better for me. If your partner doesn't respect your feelings, again, in the most intimate of acts, in terms of sexuality and being intimate and that kind of a thing, it's really important to be with someone who's going to have some level of respect for you, which means that they're going to listen to your wants, needs, and desires, and you're going to feel more comfortable and more safe and all those kind of things. If your partner does not respect your feelings or have respect for you, that's a huge red flag, because it should be all about respect and pleasing one another and making each other happy, okay? Any sort of disrespect in that realm, again, that's not something you want. Any sort of disrespect that's, like, unwanted is a huge red flag, and I, again, would caution you in terms of getting intimate with the partner. Number 8, do you trust your partner? Now, again, because we're talking about the early months of dating, you are establishing trust. You might not 100% trust your partner yet, not in the way that you might think. Like, when I say, like, do you trust your partner, I think a lot of us, in our minds, we start thinking about, like, a long-term relationship. Oh my gosh, absolute trust. I trust this person with my life. No. Realistically, in the first few months, you're not going to have that deep of level of trust for somebody. It's possible, but it's not typical. So Do you trust your partner? What I mean is, in the first few months, would you trust your partner, say, again, if something went down, like if you were at a bar and there was a fight? I actually was in this scenario a few years ago. I was in a scenario where I was at a bar. It was actually during Comic-Con in San Diego, because I go every year. I do some interviews and I frolic and have fun there. But basically, we were at a bar, and all of a sudden, you just heard this loud crash, and there was basically a fight going down in the bar. And, you know, the people I was with really did look out for me. And so it was like they kind of moved me away from the fight, you know, because it was just like things like glasses were flying. Like, it was kind of crazy. But so it was great because I felt like the people I was with, I think I was dating someone who was there at the time, and I felt like the people I was with, including the person I was dating, were looking out for me, and there was a level of trust had been established after I saw them protect me in that scenario where there was a fight happening near me. You know, there was a level of protection that was happening. Those are the kind of things that lead to trusting a partner. So again, in the early months, little things like that are indicators that you could trust somebody, okay? Or, like, you know, maybe you guys have shared some intimate secrets. If there's intimate secrets that you've shared, and maybe he or she has shared, your partner has shared some intimate, you know, secrets about themselves to you, there is a level of trust. They're testing out the waters to see how much they can trust you. And so those little things are indicators that, oh, yeah, I could trust that person. Or, you know, you tell someone your partner a secret, and it doesn't get back to you. So they seem pretty trustworthy because you can tell them some sort of secret that you don't want them to tell anybody. But stuff like that, you know, do you trust your partner? Would you trust your partner to, you know, treat you with respect when you're out together? And maybe, you know, hopefully not flirt with everyone else at the bar or at the restaurant you're going to or at a party you're at, you know? So little signs of trust are really important too and can help you decide if that person's a good intimate partner for you. Number 9. Oh, this is a big one. Does your partner have good judgment? Oh my gosh. So what do I mean by that? What does that mean? If you are in a scenario where there's free alcohol or an open bar and you're on a date and you're there in an open bar and you want to partake in the open bar fun and drink some stuff, have some cocktails and things, would your partner know when to stop drinking from the free bar? Does your partner have good judgment? Would your partner put you in a scenario that would make you feel uncomfortable or like a dangerous scenario and not think about it because they just think, oh, nothing's going to happen? Those kind of things are levels of judgment. You want to be with somebody who, if in a scenario where they have to think fast, that they have the judgment enough to think fast to protect both you and them. And again, like, it can be reversed. Like, guys, for the guys, heterosexual guys listening in this scenario, you know, if there's a scenario maybe where the girl, I mean, maybe she's not going to, like, physically protect you, but maybe she's looking out for you. Maybe there's someone who says something really mean to you or really rude to you, one of her friends or something, and she stands up for you. You know, those kind of things. Does your partner have good judgment, though? That's something where, again, would your partner be able to, and something that's unscripted, something that is unexpected, would they be able to handle something with class and to protect your best interests? That's a big one. If you feel like maybe that person's judgment isn't that great and they might not handle something with class or in the best scenario to benefit you both, that person might not be a good fit. Number 10, does your partner lose control when under the influence? Which kind of goes back to the last one. If you might get intimate while he or she is in that state. So that's a real specific one. You know, I'm not judging anyone who likes to have fun, likes to party, likes to drink a lot, that kind of thing, or do, you know, whatever substances you choose to do. But especially in a sexy scenario, if somebody is going to be under the influence and maybe doesn't have control over their actions, so to speak, you really, really might want to reconsider being intimate with that person. I can't tell you how often so many things go down in a negative way in terms of sexual assault, all of those things in that realm, when people are under the influence. I'm not saying it can't happen when you're not. I'm just saying that when judgment is, it goes back to judgment. If judgment is impaired in some way because of some substance, you definitely just want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to remain safe. If someone can get to the place where they are totally, quote-unquote, uncontrol of their body or their actions or their words, that is someone that I would really, really, really warn you about getting intimate with. Because in those sexy scenarios, if they're able to lose control and not be present to the fact that they might be affecting someone negatively, that is not someone you want to be sharing your body with. Again, it just can get real ugly real fast. So again, watch your partner's behavior when they are partaking in things, substances and things. And if they really do seem out of control, that's a really good indicator that maybe they might be under a little bit out of control if they were on that substance while with you. Okay. And again, no judgment. You know, we have freedom of choice here. Just choose wisely. Choose wisely that you're choosing the right person, and not choosing someone who chooses to act recklessly with whatever they're choosing. It's a lot of choosing in that sentence, but there you go. Number 11, is your partner alert and coherent? So again, these all kind of tie together. If your person, like, okay, say you're at a party, someone you're dating is there, they look really hot, they've been drinking, you know, wow, they, you know, I'd love to make out with them, but maybe they had one too many drinks and they're not totally alert and coherent. That might not be the best night to get intimate with them, especially if you haven't been sexual before with them. You might want to hold off, you know, maybe even get them a coffee, get them some water, you know, maybe take care of them. But you're getting into dangerous territory if your partner isn't alert and not very coherent. Because you don't want to end up in a scenario the next morning or something where your partner doesn't remember anything, feels violated potentially in some way, and feels like they weren't 100% yes to whatever you guys engaged in the night before. Really important, really, really important that your partner is a yes and is coherent enough to agree to what's about to happen sexually, okay? Super important. Number 12, is your partner concerned about your well-being? That's important because, again, it goes back to one of the earlier ones. If something's uncomfortable for you, or if maybe there's some, you know, something that your partner saw in a porn or something that they're trying on you and it's super as uncomfortable or even as painful to you, you should first of all be comfortable enough to say, hey, that hurts, but also your partner should hopefully be aware and be receptive to hearing that, oh, they don't like that, okay, I'll stop doing that now. Number 13, do you feel forced by your partner to try things you're not interested in? Now, I don't think it's bad necessarily. I think it's really great to have, again, a conversation would be great in this scenario. Have a conversation about what you might be interested in, things maybe you're nervous about but would like to try sometimes. You know, maybe there's somebody who, you know, or something that you've always been curious about but you've never tried and you're really nervous. And so you don't want to feel forced in maybe dabbling in those waters, but you want someone to, like, hold your hand and kind of guide you in that realm. You don't want to feel like you have to do this because your partner wants to do it and they're going to break up with you or not see you anymore if you don't do it, okay? If you feel forced by your partner to try things you're not interested in, then that's a huge red flag because, again, in the most intimate of moments, if someone's forcing you or you feel forced, no good, and it's going to be really hard for you to say no in that scenario. And, again, it's just going to put a big damper on the whole, what should be a sexy time. Number 14. Does your partner respect your boundaries? I think we kind of covered one of those earlier before, but it's important to have those established and make sure that your partner is respectful of what you're saying you're into and not. Number 15, this is huge, and the last one we're going to end on. Would you have any regrets after being intimate with your partner? That is huge, okay? This is the thing. You know, if you have any regrets after being with your partner, that's a good sign. If you would look back and be like, ew, I can't believe I did that, don't even jump in the first place, okay? So I like to encourage singles to be present, but this would be a good one to just foreshadow, look in the future and be like, oh my gosh, would I like really like physically feel ill or would I like kind of hate myself the next morning if I was with this person? If okay, then probably you should say no to being intimate. If after answering any of these questions you still feel excited about the idea of getting it on with a new potential partner, you may well be on your way to more intimate, sexy times. Before you make a move or consent to letting your partner make a first move, here are a few things to remember. Pay attention to your potential partner's behavior outside the bedroom. Oftentimes, a person's respect level and is consistent regardless of a situation. I.e., if a person's a douchebag outside the bedroom, they're a douchebag in the bedroom, okay? Remember that. The second one, remember. During both intimate moments together and regular scenarios, it's important to speak up if something feels wrong for you and only put yourself in situations where you feel a high level of comfort, okay? Please. Number three, make sure a friend or roommate knows where you'll be and who you're on a date with, especially just in case something bad happens, okay? You don't want to be in a situation where no one knows where you are and who you're with. Avoid drama with potential partners with these 15 questions. Have safe sexual fun out there, you guys. And you know what? If you have any more questions, tweet me at datingadvicegrl or email me info@thedatingadvicegirl.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys next time.